Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Have you ever heard of the so-called good life? He's living the good life.
Yes, I am.
You know, it's significant that the good life is generally thought to be something that you could buy if you had enough money. You know, people in poverty tend to assume that wealthy people are always happy. It is true, of course, that poverty involves some types of suffering and humiliation that money can eradicate. And we do need to get rid of poverty. But it is not true that the rich are always happy. Now, there are endless opinions about what constitutes the good life. While the poor person may see the good life as possessing wealth, the chronically ill person might see it as possessing health. So how do you get the good life? Is pleasure the key, or fame, or leisure, or freedom from restrictions? Many locate the good life way back there in the past, in the good old days, that nobody thought was particularly good while they were happening. But however the good life is defined, we are all looking for it. And that search is nothing new. We see it in the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And this exchange is actually the most extensive dialogue we have between Jesus and a named individual. And Nicodemus was prominent. He was a Pharisee. And he belonged to the most religious group in Judaism. And he was a teacher of preeminence. He was also a member of the supreme Jewish judicial body called the Sanhedrin. And in addition, he is thought to have been extremely wealthy. This was a time in Jesus' ministry when his popularity was on the rise. During the Passover festival, Jerusalem was full of people. Jews came from all over the world. And St. John said that many believed in Jesus because of the miracles that he performed. Now, we don't know exactly why Nicodemus came to Jesus. It's interesting, it explicitly says that he came at night, which may suggest that he had concerns that he didn't want everyone to know about. And he began very diplomatically. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." But Jesus was more direct. "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again," or born from above. And then it becomes a very strange conversation because Jesus and Nicodemus are talking about two different kinds of birth. Nicodemus doesn't seem to realize that Jesus is actually talking about the good life. John chapter 3, verse 16. It's so well known that it shows up everywhere. I've actually seen it written on little handwritten signs at sports events. Have you ever seen that in football games? But many people who know the passage know very little about its context. This verse has long been considered a microscopic expression of the gospel. It represents the very heart of the Christian message. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Now, not everyone who knows this verse is aware that it's a part of a long conversation between Jesus and a prominent religious leader about the good life. And eternal life throughout the New Testament is not everlasting, unending existence. That was assumed. They believed everyone was going to get that. It was a new and different quality of life. And it can begin now. Eternal life is not a quantity of existence, but a quality of life. When Jesus spoke of eternal life, he was referring to the truly good life. And what may be even more significant is that many who know John chapter 3, verse 16, without knowing its context, think that the point of the gospel is about belief. Is it really everyone who believes in Jesus who has eternal life? You know, a lot of people believe in Jesus. The Epistle of James says, even the demons believe, and they shudder. Some people believe in seatbelts, but they don't ever use them. Eternal life, the good life, does not come just by believing, but from being born again, being born above, a change of heart, a radically new orientation. Notice this, in calling for a new birth, Jesus is striking at the very heart of Nicodemus' religious security. You see, because his confidence was in his birth. Because he was born a child of the covenant, he was born a Jew, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. And it was very startling to him to hear Jesus, another Jew, suggest that a new birth was necessary for a Jew, especially one of Nicodemus's rank. Jesus was saying to this prominent Jewish leader that physical birth in and of itself confers no spiritual status. The truly good life results from being born anew, that there is a new world to be entered. Just as the physical world is entered by physical birth. You know, birth is how we enter new worlds. That's what Christ wants for us. To live in a new world, to see with new eyes. Jesus said, you must be born from above. And Nicodemus said, well, how can these things be? And to Jesus it was obvious. So he said, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? So the good life is something that you are reborn into. At the heart of the gospel is the affirmation that the good life is not the result of your parentage, your ethnic origin, or your nationality. Nor is it an achievement. It's not something that you earn. Well, if I believe enough, I'm going to get it. It's not something that you deserve. The Pharisees believed that pleasing God was a matter of keeping the law and doing certain things and avoid doing other things. And that idea was completely rejected by Jesus. The good news of Jesus Christ is that God is not demanding. People don't get that. God is not demanding, but loving. God loves us just the way we are and offers us grace to become all that we are meant to be. So then the last word on the good life is that it's an absolutely free gift. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door of your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and eat with them. When we truly open that door, things are never the same again. It's as though we're given new eyes. We have a new perception of reality, a new awareness of how things really are. Unless we are born anew, said Jesus, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, it's all around us, but you can't see it unless you enter that new reality. Now, exactly how Nicodemus responded to Jesus' words, we really don't know. There's no real evidence. Perhaps he remained the way that he was. And by the religious and secular standards of that time, Nicodemus certainly seemed to be living the good life. But you know, there is evidence that he responded positively to Jesus personally. And Later in John's Gospel, we're told that Nicodemus had brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing 100 pounds. Any of you remember that?
Yeah.
That stuff cost an absolute fortune. He must have been extremely wealthy. That's how we deduce that he was a man of great wealth. But did he perceive the deeper meaning of Jesus' death? Did he see that there is a cross at the very heart of God, and that the center of all things is self-giving and suffering love? Did he receive the gift? Was he reborn to the good life? Well, we don't know. Well, I hope so. We don't know, but all we can do is put ourselves in his place and let it be our decision. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.